As I looked around, there were more than 100 people crammed into that little coffee shop, and every one of them, it seemed, had some connection to my old friend. The more I thought about it, the more overwhelming it seemed. To be honest, I didn't know what to make of all the stories about Jones appearing here and there or not being there when one turned around, but there was a pattern, impossible to deny, of Jones being where something special was needed, where someone special was needed. I could not deny it in my own life or in the lives of all the people gathered around that suitcase that morning. I glanced around me. I knew where most of them worked. It was after 11 a.m., and most had evidently elected to delay going in. Some of them owned businesses, and those businesses obviously were remaining closed until they arrived. There were parents there with their children, whom they had not yet taken to school. I looked at my watch again, then across the room at Polly with a question on my face. She cocked her head and gave a little shrug. I took a deep breath and stood. "No one in here has any way of contacting Jones," I said. "Is that right?" No one responded. "Anyone with any idea where to send this suitcase so it would reach him?" Again, nothing. "If no one has any objections," I then said carefully, "I think we should go ahead and open it. There's no lock. We won't need to break it open. Let's see if there's anything inside that will give us a clue, an address, something." Everyone agreed that, yes, we might as well open it, so with not a sound in the place, I turned the suitcase and its latches toward me. No one breathed. Every person in that coffee shop heard the scratching, squeaky sound of the latches as they slid sideways and allowed the battered old suitcase to pop open a bare half inch. When it did, a tiny 59-cent package of seeds fell out onto the table. Necks craned and people moved as they all tried to see what had fallen out. I picked up the package, examined it briefly, and held it up for everyone else to see. It was just an ordinary paper package of seeds, no bigger than a playing card, like you've seen a million times in the garden center of any store. Marigold seeds. While I was looking at the seeds, someone, trying to get a better view, bumped the table on which the suitcase was sitting. Through the crack in the suitcase slid two more packages, almost identical to the first, except that one held tomato seeds and the other held snapdragons. I picked them up and passed them to Ted, who was across from me. "Go ahead. Open it up," he said. So I did. When the top half of the battered old suitcase began to rise and pull away from the bottom half, it was apparent that there was no divider inside the ancient luggage. Seeds, brightly colored paper packages of seeds, fell everywhere. They filled the bottom half of the suitcase to overflowing, but the packages that had been stuffed into the top half fell onto the table, across the table, and onto the floor. I quickly raked through them. Squash, daisy, cucumber, forget-me-nots, oleander, heather, zinnias, okra, watermelon, turnip, black-eyed Susans, lilies, geraniums, pumpkin, iris, bellflower, and cantaloupe. It was obvious there were at least several hundred packages, as many as the suitcase could hold, and who knew how many varieties. Stunned and confused, we all gathered around, talking softly and shuffling haphazardly through the packages of seeds, until Dave Wink pulled from the bottom of the pile a small, white envelope. We grew quiet again. With silent encouragement from us all, Dave slowly and carefully opened the envelope. Sliding a folded piece of paper from inside, he held it for all to see, then unfolded it. "It's a note," Dave said, and looked up. "And it's from him." He handed it to me and said, "You read it. Let's all hear it at the same time." I took the paper from Dave and smiled when I heard several nervous chuckles. I wasn't the only one who noticed my hand shaking. Seeing the page first as a whole, I noticed that it was handwritten in the neat but shaky scrawl of an old man. Out loud, I began to read as I heard the old man's voice in my head.
My dear friends, for so long now I have been among you and care for each of you more than you could possibly know. Many times, even when you did not see me or sense my presence, I was there, watching closely and listening carefully. Your time on this earth is a gift to be used wisely. Don't squander your words or your thoughts. Consider that even the simplest action you take for your lives matter beyond measure, and they matter forever. I do not believe that you will see me again here in this place, but trust that the seeds I have planted in your minds and hearts will be sufficient to carry you forward. These are the seeds of perspective. During the challenging times ahead, you will find the simple seed of perspective more valuable than diamonds or gold. It is an answer, of course, that most people seek in times of turmoil. Sometimes that answer is immediate, but it is not seen due to a lack of perspective. Many of you have seen this in your own lives. However, you also now know a secret that most do not understand. The reason an answer is not often found in the midst of a crisis is because many times, at that very moment, a specific answer does not exist. In desperate times, much more than anything else, folks need perspective. For perspective brings calm. Calm leads to clear thinking. Clear thinking yields new ideas, and ideas produce the bloom of an answer. Keep your head and heart clear. Perspective can just as easily be lost as it can be found. I have left these seeds for you as a simple reminder that you must also plant your own seeds in the minds and hearts of those you touch. You will honor my memory with your work. I am not gone. I will be around. The best is yet to come. Jones.
After a bit, folks began to come forward. Most read the note again themselves and took a package or two of seeds before they left to go to work or school or home. When there were only a few of us still around, we took seeds of our own. The suitcase is now a part of an informal arrangement that allows it to be passed around a bit. Ted keeps it occasionally in pack and mail so that people can see it and touch it when they visit. Then Al might keep it for a while at Café Beignet, or Ted and Catherine at Waldecor. I know Nancy kept it at C. and Sud's for several weeks, and Robert Kraft has had it in the pro shop at the golf course. I've even seen it behind the counter with Clay and Tom in the Winn-Dixie Pharmacy. As for me, every now and then I can't help but stare at a white-haired old man. Just hoping, I suppose. Most often I smile when I see the stalks of corn beside a mailbox or watermelons growing right out in someone's front yard. It is easy now to drive down almost any street in our community and see a visible reminder of what happened. People have planted the seeds that were in the suitcase, just like they planted the ones left in their lives, which have now given birth to the certainty that, yes, when we notice things about ourselves and other people that allow us all to regroup, take a breath, and begin our lives again, the best is surely yet to come. That has been the greatest gift we received, the gift of a new perspective, from an old man named Jones.
The Noticer was read by the author, Andy Andrews, and published by Thomas Nelson Incorporated. For more information on other fine books and audio products from Thomas Nelson, please visit your favorite retailer or visit us online at thomasnelson.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.